What is your name?
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, so we're getting down to business now. We've got the ox, and we got to the bottom of it. Excuse me. I got to the bottom of the oxtail, and I owe an apology to Yuli because it wasn't her.
That's why I didn't go out there.
My man Raj.
It was Raj?
Raj, who is all plaited out, trying to dress to impress, got his Texans hat on just like you do for tonight's game, got his ears all tucked into it, still doesn't have a beard and mustache trimmer.
So I was tweeting from the Rockets game and I misspelled Capella, and he was the first to call me out, Raj,
on Twitter. So you need to get all over Raj.
So I should be getting all over him.
We just did a spelling bee out in the hallway, and I said, Raj, I said, so we're talking about the tail of an animal that we were talking about. Yeah, ox, right? And I go, how do you spell it? And he caught himself about one word in, one letter in, and was like, oh, man. I go, come on,
ass is grass, Raj.
Yeah, well, yeah, Raj, be aware now, because I went easy on you. But Nick's coming for you. And it ain't going to be pretty. Because I know that when you get Shirarod, it is, he can bring the heat. All right, so because you're, again, multitasking.
Because my baby sister, who's in Los Angeles.
Yep, she's listening.
At my parents' house. She calls me and says,
this is entertainment itself, Nick.
But she calls me because my parents are, my mother, you know, she has her husband there with the kids and all that. My mother goes, something about, we didn't used to jump off the balcony from upstairs to downstairs. And my mom's like, no, y'all didn't do that. Somebody would have got hurt. No. Into the living room.
You would jump off the balcony of the second floor in your house.
Into the living room.
What would you land on?
On the floor.
Dude, you're a nut job.
So.
First of all, how did the floor sustain that kind of intense impact?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't always
this
big.
It's like that commercial where, you know, where they drop the toolbox off the edge of the back of the pickup truck. It's like dropping a refrigerator off a freaking second story window.
So, my sister.
You're just ignoring that, right?
Yeah, I know. I did because you took shots at my weight real fast.
I just thought you bounced.
But my.
Like a bad check.
That's funny. But
you jumped in the house from the balcony on the second floor and landed on the first floor and didn't break anything?
No. And so my sister was telling my mother, she's like, I guess she was telling him, my mother's like, he never thought about jumping from the second floor. And my sister was like, yeah. He was like, Travis used to do it all the time. He's like, and my cousin Kevin, who were like 2 months apart, he's like, you don't remember the time we had to put peas on Kevin's ankle and we didn't tell you why? We told you he rolled his ankle on the way home. And it was from jumping off the balcony to the second floor. He had rolled his ankle. But
how far is this jump?
A story. I mean, it's from the second floor of the house.
Hey, man, some people got low roofs.
No.
All houses are not created equal.
No,
I hate to break this to you.
Yeah,
you're always dropping like architecture and where you stay and what you've got and all this other stuff.
No, but I mean, it's from the second floor of the house.
By the way, the other thing is, Nick, why this is entertaining is he's again, multitasking, which he cannot do. And he's doing it during a break, which means he's going to come back in and join me mid-segment instead of when the segment starts because he's still doing other things, right? Let me finish. And then here's the other thing. He tells his sister she should be listening to his show. So, that's not how it was presented.
Or maybe he's talking about the podcast.
No. Really? He's he's like, I'm on the air right now. You need to be listening to my radio show.
Should I have said, you should be listening to me and Joel's radio show? She doesn't know who.
Our.
Yeah.
Our.
But she doesn't know who our is.
Well, she'll learn quickly.
Yeah, so when she.
Because I'm not exactly silent, Bob.
So when she tunes in a minute, and she'll definitely hit me and be like, well, brother, you know, she's super proper. Well, brother, I love the show. Tell Joel I said hey. Like, she's super proper.
See? But you also sound like she's a Katy Perry follower.
I don't know who that is.
Right. Well, you learn. Your kids do.
But
that's that on that, what's that little teeny bopper show that they watch with other people that, besides the artists that do the songs?
Oh, you mean Kids Bop?
There you go, Kids Bop.
It's not a show,
Teeny Bop, Kids Bop.
It's not a show. It's just we don't want.
All right, let's get down to some sports because we've been shenanigans all show so far. But while you were gone, and by the way, Barry says that unless you actually played for or went to the university, you cannot refer to your teams as we, us, or anything like it. You agree or disagree?
He said what? Well, tell, who said this?
Barry.
Well, Barry didn't play for any we.
Well, that's, well, that, so, well, we got that. Scott like, from Deer like, Park has pointed that out.
So then you don't get to choose, like, you don't get to cheer for anybody.
And we talked about this last week, and the point that I made was I would never do it on the air, right? And I don't, but I can't say, being an honest person, I probably have referred to the Packers in my private conversations with other people in the know about the team as we or something like it. But I don't do it very often. But it got to be a whole back and forth and people were chiming in. It got to be a big topic one day, did it not, Nick? Because of the fact that he just said, if you went to that college, you can refer to them as we.
Yeah, so he gave me the green light. I can say we because I went to Houston. But other than that,
professional teams, if you didn't play for them.
Can't say we.
Even if you're an employee of the team. Which I also think is a load of
I disagree
crap.
With the whole ring part, too. Like, but, just because you should get a ring.
You've gotten into the ring thing, too. That's just a whole different element. You guys got into a big one that day about the rings.
About what?
That employees shouldn't get rings.
Who shouldn't?
Barry doesn't think the employees should get rings.
Why
they
not? They're part of the organization. Yeah. They help build everything from writing the check to the guys to making sure our trip goes. Like, Barry has no idea what goes into, I mean, you have because you're being a part of the organization,
uh-huh.
What it goes into moving 53 guys that are just playing, not including the 20 coaches or nobody
talk about it. And obviously the roster sizes are different based on the sport,
yeah.
But the amount of effort that goes into it is not any less.
No.
Or any slight, it's not slighted. It is an ongoing process, and that's why once you're in and work for a team on any level in professional sports, you realize from the ticket people have one of the hardest jobs on the planet because they're constantly having to pound the pavement burn the phone lines and send emails just to try and get people to buy packages and individual tickets and, hey, you want these bobbleheads? Hey, your kids should be doing that. And they get hated by a lot of people because they're constantly asking for you to buy. But without them, they are the lifeline and the lifeblood of professional sports teams, and people don't realize it. So to say that they should be more appreciated than most, because what they do is a very thankless job in most cases, unless your team is highly successful, and then the tickets basically sell themselves.
Let's put it this way. For the most part, in Houston, we knew everybody in that building.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about from the ticket people to the guy who runs the mail room to Isidro and the rest of the crew that made us breakfast in the morning and lunch and dinner to everybody in the organization, you are supposed
to
know.
And the organization treats each other like family, with the few exceptions of the people at the top of certain organizations that will remain nameless. Other than that.
But didn't come to weddings?
Yeah, and didn't send gifts. But at the same time, but reserve seats. But the biggest thing is, aside from those few people, the rest of the people in the organization, we're going to be friends for life. We treat each other like family because you put so many hours in. And as you said, sometimes you see most of those people more than you see your own family during the season. And that's all for the benefit of the business, the team. So when the team wins, you are part of that team. That should never be questioned.
No, not at all. That should never be questioned. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, Barry losing credibility today.
Got into it. I'm not trying to dip Barry under the bus because he's not here to defend himself.
I'm not saying
you guys got heated one day about the rings. I just brought up the we. I just want to get your opinion on we. Because you've got more we's than most.
You can be a fan. Like, so now you're saying, so that means there should be no fans.
Because the biggest thing for me was, and Barry doesn't, I thought you could say we in your private life. I think where I have a problem is people like us that are on the air talking should not do the we.
Yeah, because you're supposed to be unbiased.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm never going to hide my being biased to certain teams. You know what I'm saying? I'm always going to be slightly slanted towards the Texans, slightly slanted towards the Chargers. I mean, when it comes to when I speak on the Raiders, it comes from my childhood of growing up a Raider fan.
So there's one that would not be.
I'm not going to be slanted, but I'm always going to say, when it comes down to it, I root for the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When they're not playing any of my teams that I play for.
What team is Tom Herman coaching for next year?
Well, it's gonna be
And by the way,
crazy.
Your head coach
It could possibly
of one
be
of your Wii's.
We might end up getting Tom Herman.
Yeah, it could be a whole juggernaut of shuffling of the deck.
That's why with Charlie Strong possibly getting fired.
Possibly.
I mean,
inevitably.
Whatever. I mean, okay. You never know what's going on in the back door.
You hear that in the background?
Yeah.
I don't know if you requested that or not, but that's music. That means we got to go and come back. So
let's keep talking on the blitz this time.
On the flip side, what we want to do is we want to get a little bit of a discussion going about Tom Herman. Nick, you're going to talk about the resume a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that in your lap. And we're going to talk about the fact that because of the occurrences of Thursday through Saturday of last week, it could be a very interesting next couple of weeks across the landscape of college football, and not just because of it, not just affecting Houston and Austin communities. We'll talk about that in a lot more. ESPN 97.5.
Treat you like my equal, never lessen. I was 26 years old when we had dropped this one.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Let's brew tonight and share the spice of life.
Here you go again, screwing it up with the ad lib. And your moobs are in motion. When your moobs are in motion, it's scary. That's all we got. We got a groove going today. Allow it. Allow it to do what it do. All right, so now we got another discussion from last week rejuvenated, which I'm not happy about, but we can do it because we got to get to this U of H stuff. But, Robert, you want to chime in on if we can say we?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
But, hey, man, no homo, but Nick Trump, man, I've been missing you, man. I'm glad you're back to the show.
Oh, man.
Man, hey, I didn't mean nothing, but dude, I gotta get on this little bear, man. He does not know what he's talking about. I mean, if there are no people saying we, that's the whole point of sports is saying and interacting with the players. I mean, you mean to tell a child that he can't say we because he look at a player like you or somebody else as a role model or something? Yeah, Joe, you need to dump that dude, man. He sucks. Oh, and y'all talk about somebody a coward? My name is Robert Marshall from Beaumont, Texas. The tell bear a fight go with that. I'm out this dude.
Wow, there was a whole lot of heat.
Robert just said, you know what? Because normally you have to get a couple phone calls to get in the living room. Robert said, the heck with y'all waiting on getting in your living room. I'm gonna kick the freaking front door in and I'm gonna get me a spot by any means necessary.
Has he seen the bouncer?
Hey, I'm gonna let him scuff. The way he just kicked in the door,
you're just getting out of the way. I'm just saying,
I'm just gonna tuck mine in. I'm just gonna tell, man, here come Debo. Who? Debo.
Yeah, that was a strong call. And by the way, Robert, just to clarify, we talk about cowardly keyboard confidence. Those are the people that text. They don't leave any contact information, and they do it because it's like a sniper that's never gonna get caught. When you're on and you're on a phone call, now we got a name, we got a voice, we got things we can go to. Right.
Yeah.
Or on Twitter, we've got a handle that we can go to.
This man, he wanted to make it known.
I like it, though, man.
I thought it was excellent.
First of all, I knew you would.
Hey, I just thought it was hilarious. I mean, I like somebody asserting themselves, man. You know what I mean?
Yep. I mean, he brought it. There's no doubt about it. So,
but we have that.
Now, let's get to this University of Houston stuff. Because it's extremely important because of the fact that I mentioned last week, I thought that it might have been one of the most costly and worst wins in the University of Houston's history for as big a win as it was, because it put Tom Herman back on the map. Because after losses to SMU and Navy, it looked like he was going to fall by the wayside. Everybody said, well, the dollar figures were going down, but then he doesn't have to leave. I mean, he still doesn't have to leave, but maybe that the luster had worn off the diamond a little bit. But all of a sudden, he comes up with this huge blowout victory that we didn't talk about yet, Trap, but it was impressive from start to finish. And also a lot of things, the moon and the stars had to line up, right? The fake punt worked. The wide receiver pass worked. You know, everything was working. But, hey, it's by any means necessary, and it was a blowout from start to finish. And that elevated his name to the top of everybody's list again, because LSU hasn't run the table for your guy, Ed Orgeron. So he's going to be a consideration, but they're going to look at others, right? Texas, the rumor was out there. Now, lo and behold, 2 days later, Charlie Strong loses takes a Texas team and takes on Kansas and loses for the first time since 1938, I believe. It is the last time the Jayhawks beat the Longhorns, albeit in overtime. It doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, now to the forefront becomes Charlie must go now. The word comes out today. They won't do anything till the end of the season. There's a game Friday, so they're going to have him continue. But it seems inevitable he's going to go, right? SC beats UCLA this weekend. My wife not happy, being a Bruin. But at the same time, USC playing better, but they're saying between USC, Oregon, LSU, and Texas, Tom Herman's going to have his pick of where he wants to go.
Yeah, and I think that right now, I think, to be honest, USC probably is one of the most pissed off about the fact that they keep on winning games. Because it's going to be hard to fire. What's his name? Can't remember. His daddy's a coach. His daddy's an old AD, and I can't even remember the name.
We'll get it.
But it's going to be hard to fire him. You know what I mean? Especially because the guys have played well this year. And if you want a guy like Tom Herman, you're going to have to get rid of him in order to. Or you know, to be honest, they can still negotiate with him. If they don't get him, then they don't have to fire him.
Clay Helton.
Yes. But they can still negotiate with him regardless. But
well, that's what I said last week. I said, and I said this to Keenan. The bottom line is, no one's going to make any move. Like I thought, I obviously did not see the loss to Kansas coming. But I said Texas was smart and savvy enough. They were going to have negotiations with Tom Herman well before they decided what they were going to do with Charlie Strong. If they knew that they could get him, then they would consider moving Charlie Strong. But otherwise, they weren't opposed to hanging on to Charlie for one more year for a lot of reasons we've already highlighted on this show over the past couple months. But after the occurrences of Saturday and the all-out crapping of the bed against Kansas, it becomes not just a possibility, but a probability. He's going to go. So now they're pumping the gas faster because they're putting the full court press on. Because they know not only are they not alone, but now they have to do something where they could have done something in the past.
Well, yeah, yes and no. I don't think because of the background stuff that Nick mentioned to us earlier, I don't see that being a done deal to get him over.
So let's get to that first. Nick, you said that now there's some resume issue.
No, it's not a resume. It's a background issue.
The resume was for, we're talking about Bobby Petrino, but the red flag was just a report that came out yesterday that Texas actually inquired into his background.
Okay.
And the background check came up with a red flag. We don't know what the red flag is yet, but it's soon to come out. Now, I don't know. I mean, I think it depends on the red flag. If it's something crazy like domestic abuse, yeah, I can see it hurting him. But if it's something like, I don't know, like an old DWI or something, I see them just looking over that. So it just kind of depends on what it is.
I mean, and here's the thing is the Texas job is not a good job to have right now.
Why?
No matter how much money they're going to, they have nothing. But, they got a young quarterback. That's about it.
Have you seen?
There's not. That's
time
not,
out, time out, time out.
It's not a good job.
Excuse me.
When you talk.
If you look at their freshman, sophomore class. Guys that Charlie has been able to bring in, there's a lot of talent on that roster.
They've been bringing in talent forever. I mean, every year Mac Brown used to win the recruiting national championship and buy himself a ring, and still wasn't winning games outside of when he had Vince.
Well, I'm just saying the cupboard's not going to be bare now.
It's still not a good job because right now, for the simple fact is, how many cooks are in that kitchen? Oh, you got to deal with Red McCombs.
This is the biggest problem you got. Yeah, between Red McCombs and the other alums, that is a huge issue with the University of Texas.
So it's not a good job. Because if they feel like, if we're going to give you $10 million, we're going to tell you what to do.
I don't think potential coaches are looking at that. Like, I don't think Tom Herman is looking at that job like, oh, that's not a good job, though. I think they're looking at
But here's the thing is, what you don't understand about coaches is they don't want people. That's one of the reasons why when Nick Saban originally took the Alabama job, and the reason why it took him so long to take the Alabama job is because he had to make sure that before, it wasn't going to be a lot of people. He's going to do what he wanted to do. He's going to run the program like he wanted to run the program. Everybody's going to sit back and shut up.
I would imagine, that if Tom Herman came in, he wouldn't. I mean, do you think he would expect full, complete control of Texas?
He don't got enough juice for it.
Exactly. He would have to prove himself maybe one or two seasons.
But that's what I'm saying. And one or two seasons get you fired. Charlie Strong, i.e.
Well, it's after the third season. You know, if it's been three seasons. It's a decent time to give someone at that a Texas job.
No, you always got to get, man, it's never a decent time. Because the thing is, you got to always give a guy 4 years, maybe five, to try to get a job done. And the end of the day is when he finally gets a quarterback, yeah, they might lose a couple games because they're young. You know what I mean? Like Joel just said, is there is a young.
You call me that again, and in the break, it's gonna be on.
What?
You called? Never mind. Go ahead.
What happened?
You called me something other than my name. You called me someone else's name. But anyway, continue, because the CT is gonna send it.
But so what Joel was saying was that. You know, with the young talent, he still hadn't been able, like, think about it. When he got there, he inherited not an old team, not a young team right in between. So them guys still on the roster.
I can agree with you from the standpoint of conversation we've had in the past that Mac Brown dug such a hole for Charlie Strong that recruiting was going to be a problem regardless of what happened with whoever took the job, and that it was going to take a good 4 or 5 years to dig your way out. So from that standpoint, I could see you being a little behind if you took the UT job. But with the resources, the facilities, the Nike deal.
The facilities are trash right now compared to everybody else.
I disagree.
Have you seen the facilities lately compared to Alabama? Compared to Florida State, compared to Oregon, compared to them other schools.
I know it changes on a yearly basis.
But you got to keep up with the times. And that's what these kids want to see. And their facilities do not compare. They're nowhere on the same level with those schools I just named.
Okay, so Tom Herman's name is coming up on everybody's lips again. And it's all going to be a matter of where does he end up and does he actually leave and what would it take to get him to stay? These are all fair questions. Questions are going to come up again and again in the next few weeks or months until a decision is made by a lot of different universities and by Tom Herman and his wife. So we'll see what happens, because now, as much as everybody says he's staying and he doesn't want to talk about it, he's going to have to at some point, because it's going to keep coming up. We want to know what you think as well. Give us a call when you get a chance. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We are here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
On all the time.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So it's Travis and Joel with Nick behind the glass, and we're kicking it till 4 o'clock and actually kicking some ass. That's what we normally do here Monday through Friday. This week, by the way, on a programming note for those of you scoring at home, only today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, as the good, graceful people of Gal Media have given us Thursday and Friday off, which is very much welcomed and appreciated, I might add.
Yeah, it always is. Yeah,
very, very nice.
Even though Wednesday, Thursday are my days off.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And then, of course,
you're trying to enjoy the fact that we're getting the days off,
Chad. Oh, man. Yeah.
Think about Nick, man.
Yeah.
And think about other people than yourself.
I got my Friday.
Be appreciative that we get some time off, Nick and I.
So what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing for Thanksgiving?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
First Thanksgiving with just the two girls, my wife and our baby girl, and we're just going to quietly spend some time at home and relax.
Where's the mom-in-law?
The family is back in Cali.
Okay.
And because Lisa's brother has twins and a newborn themselves.
Okay.
And his wife's family's all there, too. They all get together in California.
Oh, okay.
And what about you? You got family coming in?
Kinfolk? No, man.
Them?
I don't have
Nene?
No.
Shaquandra?
No. We don't have anybody like with those. We don't have them jobless.
No balcony
names.
Jumping in the living room.
No, but we don't have any jobless name got person people in our family.
I'm pretty sure if you need a basement, they can just let you jump off the balcony now.
Yeah, but no, you know what? Probably my couple of siblings will probably come over.
Your one sister, Lisa,
yeah,
this year, right?
Uh-huh. She'll probably come by the house with the girls, and then. One of my college professors actually just texted me yesterday telling me they were in town. So I told her, I said, hey, man, if you want to come by, you know, your husband and your baby, man, come on through. We'll have food.
I did that first, and then my wife and I both did that for years, where if anybody didn't have any place to go, we always invited them over. But I guess it's a good thing, but all of our friends that didn't now do. So
yeah,
it's just going to be nice to have some quiet time at home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but even if we had nobody coming, we would still make food for like 30 people. Yeah,
we end up having too much, too, and then our fridge can't handle it. Nick, what about you?
So my brother and sister will probably do something the day after. And then I got invited on the day of on Thursday. So, yeah, I got plans for
Nick,
both
if
days.
You don't have anywhere to go, you're more than welcome to swing by our house. And we do have enough food. Because, by the way, my wife has decided, as much as she's close to a vegetarian and her family is, but she's always indulged on Thanksgiving, she told me that of all the food and everything, she won't be having any turkey this
What?
Yeah.
Neither will Travis.
Right.
I mean,
you know what that means, Nick? If my
wife,
for me.
If my wife buys the already sliced honey-baked ham kind, then I'll eat that. But
I'm talking about turkey, Chief.
Yeah, I know. You know, honey baked ham also has a honey baked turkey.
I get that. But I'm just saying, you just said ham.
Yeah, but I said the name of the place is called Honey Baked Ham.
Oh, boy. So anyway, Nick, you're welcome at our place. So we've got a short week, but it should be a good week. And we were talking about Tom Herman. And the interesting thing is how these dominoes could fall, Travis, because I think, one, I would love it if Tom Herman stayed at the University of Houston. And I would love if Tillman Fertitta and other of the alums did what University of Texas people are obviously going to do, what probably LSU alums are going to do. But I don't think they're going to meddle as much as the UT people. But there's definitely going to be alums that are going to open up their pocketbooks, too, and say, look, we're going to do whatever it takes to get a high-quality football coach. Tom Herman fits that bill. Seems to be that guy. He's going to be highly sought after. I would love for him to stay because they didn't get the Big 12 deal done. That hurts. But obviously we know money talks, but he said all the right things up to this point, including recently when he got a whole new grill set up of teeth for a guy that works on the janitorial staff over at University of Houston. And he quietly got the guy some help and took care of some things. And they were talking about all of the different things he likes to do to help out Houston and the charities he does in this. And he said how he and his wife just love and adore Houston and they just are so enamored with the city. I hope that's not just
talk,
coach speak. I hope that's true. And I hope there's a way that he keeps going with what he's created. Like when we talked about last week, all the recruits that were on the field pregame and postgame and there for that big win for U of H, you know, as much as they were jacked up and juiced and saying, I'm going to be a part of this next year, part of them started thinking when they got home. But what if he leaves? And that's sad because you know what? To see the Ed Olivers and the first five-star of all time come to U of H and think that there could be more and that they could really truly be building something and then have it all fall by the wayside because he jumped ship.
That's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
He's not responsible.
But it doesn't make it right.
It doesn't make it right. He's not responsible for it. It's the nature of the game.
Yeah.
And until they do right by the kids, it'll continue to be what it is. I mean, it's a business. He's going to go out. He's going to go over there. And you know what? He says how much he loves Houston. Guess what? I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to make Houston his home and build a house here and go somewhere else and coach somewhere else forever and just say, oh, I got a house in Houston. I love Houston. I love Texas. You know, I mean, it is what it is, man. I don't fault him for doing it. You know what I'm saying? I fought the NCAA because they allow the coaches to do it, but they don't allow the kids to do it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, something's got to change with that rule, too. Like, if you sign and commit to a program with a certain coach and that coach jumps, you should be allowed out of your scholarship at any point without any kind of penalty because of the fact that, look, for all the coaches that say, you know, I'm like a father figure to these kids. And, you know, you see Tom Herman kissing these kids on the cheek and acting like, and saying all, you know, how much he loves them, but you know, part of the love is that, you know, that's a tough love to have to deal with, that you came to play for a certain coach at a certain program because of the entire package. And you take that coach out of that package, and that package suddenly loses a whole lot of luster.
No question, because I promise you, Ed Oliver doesn't go to
He does.
He probably still goes.
His brother plays there, too. Yeah, so that's a special set of circumstances. But to the recruit that comes from Jersey City, New Jersey, and wants to be a part of what Tom Herman's building at U of H and moves halfway across the country and makes that big commitment to leave the state that he's only known his whole life to play for a coach in a program that he just thinks is the perfect fit for him. And suddenly the coach gets up and walks away and says, oh, by the way, I'm leaving. Bye. I don't see Tom Herman as the guy that does it like some coaches do, but nonetheless, it doesn't take the sting out of it. And then you kind of are left to say, what do I do? Because if I leave, I got to sit out a year to go anywhere else unless I go down in division.
Or unless you graduate, or unless you happen to be that guy who's graduating.
Right, and then you can play the extra year. So that's an unfortunate rule.
I'm not going to fault Tom Herman for leaving, but I don't play on the field. So I kind of wonder if there's any like really open-minded student athlete that's like, hey, man, I wanted to play for Tom Herman, but I get it. He's trying to
grow. No, I mean, everybody, I say like,
you know, there's no blood, sweat, and tears in my, you know what I mean? I was just a student. So if I was, you know, working out every day, trying to play hard for him, you know, I might feel a certain way about it, but.
I remember my sophomore year. Where Mickey Andrews was interviewing for the Tennessee Titans defense coordinator job. And we basically had to tell him, like, you know, we had a meeting, like, Coach, we didn't come here to play for Coach Bowden. We came here to play for you. And if you're not going to be here, and it was, I remember Chris Hope at the time was telling him, like, I came back to school for my senior year because you said you were going to be a part of this.
Right.
If you're not going to be a part of this, then why should I be?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And kids are going to feel that way because they're kids. They don't understand the business of it.
They're not mature enough to handle this, like, because they're not. They're not a grown adult at this point.
No.
And so, and that's a great perspective from someone that's been there. And that's part of what I wanted to get your opinion on is the fact that these parents turn over these kids, in essence, to these coaches. Because they spend time in their living room, because they make the commitment to say, look, it's more than just getting your son's name on a piece of paper to put a uniform on. I am going to be you when you are not there. And now all of a sudden, they're not there.
Yeah. Mickey once told us his biggest thing is he didn't want to be made a liar in front of your parents.
And that's big, but I don't think a lot of coaches think that way.
Yeah, but a lot of coaches don't think that way, but he said,
Lane Kiffin thinks that way?
No, Lane doesn't. You know what I mean? But at the same time, that's an old school way of thinking. And, you know, some coaches I think that still feel like that. You know, I remember him saying, like, when I went into your house, I told your parents I'm going to take care of you. I told them you're going to graduate. I told them I was going to make you better. And I told them I was going to turn you into a man. And he said, if I didn't do those three things, then I failed your parents. And that was his thought process. And, I mean, it's some coaches that still, I mean, I believe Nick Saban is to that point now in his career where that's his thought process when he gets a kid. Is I'm going to make you a man, I'm going to make you better, I'm going to make you accountable, and I'm going to help you graduate from college. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I don't know, man. I think Tom Herman's still a young man. I mean, he's what, 38 years old?
Yeah, he's not 40 yet. I don't know exactly. Yeah, like, but by the way, Nick points out, not you, Nick, but Nick on Twitter points out on Wikipedia, which you can edit, it already lists Tom Herman as the coach at the University of Texas.
Oh, yeah. I love it when people mess with Wiki like that.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious.
But at the same time, you look at that, and Trav, to your point, I hoped that. And it's hard to do, right? Because the money is so great these days.
Yeah.
But you hope that there's genuine sentiment behind the statements that come from coaches. And when I heard him say and show all the love that he has, and he probably does for the University of Houston, heck, I think that Sumlin and Briles and guys that have been able to use it as a stepping stone to other jobs probably still look back at their time of U of H with a great deal of affinity and love. But I just kind of was hoping that he would find a way to stay. And because he's done so much great for the program in such a short period of time.
I don't want him to stay.
That's shocking to me, but I like the fact that you have your viewpoint.
Because I want to see what this does to college football. Because it's a domino effect for, okay, who's next for the Houston job? Then you go, all right, if he takes the Texas job, who's getting the LSU job? If he doesn't take the LSU job, who's getting the USC job? Who's getting the...
And what if your guy Florida State takes the LSU job? Then Florida State becomes one of the most attractive jobs in the country.
Who's coming to Florida State? You know, it's those things. And we were talking about this, and this is me, Roland, and all of us talking about this earlier, was like if he leaves, I want Les Miles. I want Les Miles to come in. I want him to hire Art Briles as our OC. Mm-hmm. And I want him to bring in Charlie Strong as our DC. And we in the money.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty staunch lineup if you can set it up. But at the same time, there's plenty more to discuss. And where do you see the dominoes falling? Do you see Tom Herman staying or going? It's all an open discussion. It's all going to be very interesting. And like I said, I'm on record as saying I wish he would just stay. If there was a way, if Tillman Fertitta could find a way to open up those purse strings one more time and keep him for a couple more years, I would love to see what he's able to build at University of Houston. That's how he's already started growing. So let us know what you think. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. Scott, we see him. We're coming. ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, so my wife's listening. We found that out in a hurry. I can't repeat exactly what she texted me, but let's just say because she is a Bruin and because we also mentioned not only did they lose this weekend to USC, but that I mentioned two words that are like pouring acid in a wound for her, those words being Lane Kiffin, she expressed her disdain.
Why does she not like Lane Kiffin like
that? She hates everything USC as it is.
Yeah.
But she also knows the background of how dirty Lane Kiffin has been at certain programs.
Yeah.
Done certain things. And the fact that literally, like, she likes sports mm-hmm. for the most part. She doesn't really like basketball. But she, like, looked forward to the game Saturday night and was trying to stay awake simply because it's that rivalry, because and of how much she hates USC Bruin.
Well, she should have got to sleep by halftime because, I mean, pretty much the game.
Well, and in the first quarter, we were watching. It was a tight game. It was a really good game.
It was a great game in the first quarter.
And thank God she went to bed when she did, because then she woke up the next morning saying, I got to see the score. And then it was like, oh, man.
It's like the election.
And I said, look, at least you didn't watch it.
Hey,
right? Exactly
like,
right.
Just like the election. If you went to sleep and woke up and Trump was your president, you were like, oh,
well, actually, and she went to sleep, and I was the one at 2:30 in the morning, got into bed and went, he's going to win.
Yeah.
And then she was all kinds of whacked up.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
But, yeah, she's not a USC fan, and she's not a Lane Kiffin fan. So that was a big deal. And Tom Herman's 41. So
come at me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah. So if you're at Oklahoma State, you're also set for life. But I look at this and I say, and I need your opinion on this as well. Jimbo Fisher would leave Florida State for LSU? First of all, that's the only job he would consider?
I think that's the only job he would consider. Well, you know, don't be surprised. I think Texas is going to try to go after him as well.
And the reason why he would consider LSU is
he's a Nick Saban guy. He's a disciple of Nick Saban.
Okay, so he's under that tree.
Yeah, he was with Nick Saban there. He was he's been a coach for a long time.
Okay. So he was basically
he was the OC under Nick Saban.
Right, but I'm just saying Florida State has always wanted him to be the long term
assistant. Yeah, that's how we operate. I mean, we're not a team that brings a coach in and he didn't come in losing right away, so it never became an option. But I think from the jump, they were always planning on having another Coach Bowden type do 30, 40 years at this university and then figure out what do you want to do next. And then you find out you give it up and give it to somebody else to do another 30 years at the university. I think that's what Florida State has been looking for and continue to look for. And I think that's the biggest reason why we can't let him go by any means. We can't go. We don't want to be that. We're not a stepping stone school.
Right.
You know, but that's one thing we need to come out and
I mean, everybody knows that, but that's why I feel so bad for U of H being a stepping stone school, because they've had so many of these same scenarios play out where they get some good things going. They get some momentum built. They start getting some recruits and then it's bigger, better thing comes along and see you later.
But I mean, that's the nature of the beast. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, until they put U of H in a better conference, until they try to
let's be honest though, that wasn't their misdoing in the Big 12. That was the Big 12 saying there were teams that said they don't want them in because if they get in, it's going to hurt their recruiting and their success.
But it's stupid. I mean, it will because of the city and the location. And when you look at the rest of the Big 12, it's hard to compete with. It's like if you're in Norman, Oklahoma,
yep,
it's hard to compete with Houston. if you are in...
That's because the hotbed that is Houston, Texas.
And not, it's not just the hotbed. It's the city life of itself, of being in Third Ward, of being in the city, of being in the midst of everything. And you go to these other places, and they are country college towns. And unless that's what you're looking for, and that's not that, like it's not even a competition, especially if we're playing all the same people.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm saying that's why they're not in the Big 12. I mean, we can hem and haw and say revenues and networks and everything else, but let's be honest. There were schools that said this is really going to hurt us if we help them, even though we realize it's the right thing to do if you're going to expand. And because of the success they've had recently and because of the things they've done with the stadiums and everything else, they fit the criteria. And all of a sudden, teams start going, but wait a minute, because if they get in, now it's going to be even tougher to recruit Houston. Now it's going to be even tougher to get that kid that we know is a perfect fit for our program. Not that they've had any problem recruiting anywhere in Norman, Oklahoma over the long haul, but I hate that. I really do. So, Scott, we're going to get to you, Jonathan, and Robert. I'm sorry we got caught up on this a little bit, but we will get back. We will reel it in. And we also want to get to the Texans in the final hour. We got two in the books, one to go. We're going to get a little bit more into this discussion and get some calls on the Tom Herman situation in college football, and then we'll transition into the game tonight because we didn't want to bore you like everybody else by beating it like a dead horse or a old drum. We wanted to make sure we covered the gamut. We had some fun. We covered some college football, and we'll get to the Texans before all is said and done. We appreciate you being with us till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.